Hey folks, Dan Ferriero here with your closing bell for July 22nd, 2024. So mortgage rates didn't move at all. The MBS market actually closed at zero. Haven't seen that in a long time. Maybe this is what's affecting it. Headlines right now just popped up July 22nd. Mortgage delinquencies hit a six-month high in June. So that's what you're going to see all over the map, all over news, and all over YouTube. But the weird thing is look what's going on. We see the Dow Jones, the S&P, the NASDAQ are all up. We have cryptocurrencies, I think, also on a roll right now as well. Yeah, it's up $600, and we have oil, the inflation number that I always track, it's coming down. So with the bad news that we have out today, why are the markets doing pretty well, and why is the bond market completely flat? Well, let's get over to an interview with CNBC did an interview with this person. He actually is a big component of Fidelity Investments. He's actually going to bring us up to speed on how the markets are doing what they're doing. He's going to talk about the equity markets. He's going to talk about the bond markets and what the Federal Reserve is going to do. When we come back, we're going to take that deep dive into mortgage delinquencies to let you guys know, is the world starting to finally crack? That's what we're going to talk about next. But without further ado, let's get to this interview. He goes a little bit in depth. I'll put it in more layman's terms after that. But again, after this, we're going to focus on the mortgage delinquency issues. So let's get to the interview.
Joining us today is Jurian Timmer, Fidelity's Director of Global Macro and co-manager of the Fidelity Global Strategies Fund. Jurian, great to see you. Your thoughts on how all of these news pipes are feeding the markets this week. We got a lot on deck to this week.
Well, your previous comment to the other guest, I think, was spot on that, you know, this is a market that is, you know, liquid, deep. It's based on pretty sound fundamentals, regardless of, you know, where the valuations are right now for some stocks. And the ability to be resilient in the face of such, you know, dramatic occurrences just over the past, you know, month or so, I think is a sign that the market is actually on pretty good footing, right? So the Fed is poised to ease. That CPI report was finally that piece of evidence that allows the Fed to actually execute on its bias to ease. And so in all likelihood, that will be in September. Whether the Fed goes to 3.5 or to 4 or 4.5 is a conversation for another day, because it's not really what we need to worry about right now. And at the same time, earnings growth is accelerating, right? The year-over-year growth rate in the consensus earnings estimate is about plus 13. Earnings season is underway right now. We're at plus 10. We'll probably be at plus 12, 13, 14 by the time it's over. So you have a Fed lowering the cost of capital. You have a bond market that is sort of well-behaved right now, at least. And you have accelerating earnings. And if you look at the average stock, so not the cap-weighted S&P, which is trading at 24 times earnings, but the equal-weighted S&P, which is trading at 18 times earnings, and all the stocks that have sort of been left behind by this Mag 7-dominated rally, and it paints a pretty constructive picture, right? Easier rates, accelerating growth, and a lot of stocks that have not really kept up with the cap-weighted index.
Right.
So
right.
It's a good story that these headlines can withstand.
It's actually a really good explanation as to why the market's able to look through the political volatility. I wonder if you're getting the sense that inflation hawks who have been worried and maybe still are somewhat worried about a double top in CPI are beginning to let their guard down.
Well, you know, it was always about the last mile, right? Going from 9 to 3 was obviously a great thing to see, but that was relatively, you know, easy lifting just because of base effects. Getting from 3 to 2 is a lot harder, right? We do still have a tight labor market. We don't know what sort of the international trade story is going to look like in the coming years. And so the question is, you know, will the Fed remain sort of cautious until we actually go to 2? And remember, like a 2-year rate of change or a 5-year rate of change of the CPI is well north of 3 still, just because we had essentially a 20-25% increase in prices since 2020. So it will take more time to get these longer averages down to 2, but it's moving in the right direction, and the economy is moving towards a softer direction as well, like the difference between the unemployment rate and what's considered, you know, a neutral unemployment rate is narrowing, and that allows the Fed to kind of bring rates back down, maybe not to an easy policy or even a neutral policy, but it's always a moving target. And that, I think, is the most important thing for the viewers to understand, that 5 3/8 was important a year ago, but that 5 3/8 could be 4.5 today, and it could be 4 in 3 months or 6 months. And it is a moving target, because if inflation moves down and the Fed doesn't move with it, it's essentially becoming more restrictive, and that's not really warranted here.
So that was a lot of information to unpack. But basically, he said the economy isn't so bad. He brought up about the Treasury markets. I think they're a little bit... There's a little risk there, but he knows much better than I do on a lot of this stuff. So that's what his context was for today. So it wasn't anything really shattering there. But now let's get to this. Oh, shoot, I forgot to read the end of this. Mortgage delinquencies hit a six-month high in June, but it's not as bad as it looks. Now, this is the part you're not going to probably get from most people. So let's actually dive into the details. And I can't read every line in here. So, guys, I'll put the link down below so you can dive into it. But I highlighted the sections that should be drawing your attention. So let's get to it. Here's the headlines that we're going to see. It's going to say national delinquency rate rose 14.5% in June from the month before, according to loan level data. So basically, it's up 14.5%. So I'm thinking, this isn't good. All right. In June, the number of borrowers missing a single payment rose by 19.6%. That's adding fuel to the fire. And then let's get over to the last one. Serious delinquencies, which refer to payments on outstanding loans due past 90 days, were up 5.1 in May. But this is still down 8.5 from a year ago. But we'll just stop at the 5.1 thing, because that's what everybody's going to tell you. But here's what you need to understand. You got to look into the details, because you can't just sugarcoat the data or highlight the data you want people to see and say, look, delinquencies is going crazy. Let's continue to read through the real information. Okay, the national delinquency rate in June partly because the month ended on a Sunday, and payments made on the last day of the month weren't processed in time to include in the data set. They rolled over to the following month. That increased the delinquency rate temporarily, even if borrowers paid on time. Okay, so that's a big, big reason for that right there. In addition, delinquencies in May were at a record low. Hold on. We're at a record low, which made the June increase seem even bigger. Okay, June spike in mortgage delinquencies was primarily calendar related. In fact, in our MacFlash daily mortgage performance data shows that we're already seeing recovery in that jump. And then down through here starts the foreclosure piece of the numbers. The number of properties that began going through foreclosure process or foreclosure starts fell 6.2% in June. The number of homes that were foreclosed on was the lowest point since the end of COVID. So that's the facts, folks. So you don't have to worry about, you know, everybody getting foreclosed on and nobody can afford their houses and delinquencies are going to go skyrocketing, because if you're sitting on the sidelines waiting for rates to get to 3%, that's not going to happen. If you're waiting for foreclosures to really hit the markets and foreclosures hit the markets in the millions, it's not going to happen. So that's my report for today. My goal here is to make sure you get the truth and nothing but the truth. So let's get over to mortgage rates. These are the top six products people use when they're buying their first house. Are they going to change today? Well, basically no, because why? Well, let's get to my view. View the dashboard view. And right through here, we have the MBS market right now is down 2 ticks. That means the mortgage bond price is down 2 ticks. It's not going to do anything to rates. So the day is going to end with basically rates as flat as a pancake. So there's where they are right over there. So if you're interested in possibly kicking the tires to see, do you qualify to buy your first house? Can you buy an investment property? How do you buy or pull the equity out of your current house to buy that next home? Can you refinance? All these questions can be answered right here at the Rate Update. So if you're looking for your first house, the first thing I want you to do is hit the Grant Finder right through there. Had a young man put a contract in this morning, just got accepted. I ran through the Grant Finder and just called him back, said, dude, you qualify for the $6,500 grant. Bet you didn't even know that. He was ecstatic. So if you're looking to buy that first house, check out the Grant Finder. Then the next step is hit the Apply Now button. What I don't want you to do is disqualify yourself. Okay. But if you're like, Dan, I hate these online things. I do too. What would I do? I'd scroll to the bottom of the website right through here, and I'd give them a call. So this is what I would do. I'd scroll to the bottom, and here's our 800 number. It's 844-775-5626. If you want to reach me directly, you can do that. Just email me at dan@theRateUpdate.com, and yes, it will be me replying to you. So again, the lesson in this video is don't judge a book by its cover. You have to really know the data. Don't let people just cherry pick information that they want you to see. So thanks for watching, guys. If you haven't done so yet, help me get to 30,000 subscribers right down there. We're about 20 people away. Need your help. So thank you so much. I'll be back tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.